This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hi, I'm Amy Monahan, Senior Practice Innovations Manager at Perkins Coie, and joining me today to talk about managing people and maintaining morale at the firm is Ed Impamano, Director of Customer Experience, also at Perkins Coie. Welcome, Ed. Thanks for joining me today. So we're talking about helping people get through these difficult times and keeping morale and certainly quality of work up at a firm. So in order to introduce who you are and lay out the context of why you're in a good position to give folks advice, why don't you tell us about your role and also the makeup of your team, and then we'll dive into what you're doing to help people get through these difficult times.
Awesome. Great. No, pleasure to be here. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the conversation. If anything else, I think nowadays it's hugely important to be really focused in on engaging your people and making sure that everyone is motivated given our state of times. So my role here, and it's often an interesting conversation, I call it a conversation starter half the time when people see the title as Director of Customer Experience. I even myself thought it was a marketing role a long time ago upon the interview process. But I am in the technology side of things. And I like to describe it as, because I do have a lot of gray area responsibility, I manage what I call the front-facing side of technology. So that could be anybody from answering a phone call to people that come to your desk. And I have a little bit of an area of what I call gray engineering area, things like mobile devices, endpoints. You know, so basically what end users touch on a day-to-day basis and the things that they need to support, train, educate, and even to what we're doing now from a web and a technology online perspective is in our overview.
So certainly a team that even pre-pandemic and financial crisis was probably prone to, you know, having some low morale issues because they are those front lines. When stuff breaks, people want them to fix it yesterday, right?
You are far more eloquent than I am. I usually say we deal with people's problems all day. So, you know, when you deal with people's problems all day, you have to have a certain positive attitude to it and just know that, you know, we are here to help. And so that's core to everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. But yes. And you have a very large team and a dispersed team. Is that correct?
We do. And so we do have a benefit for being a mostly US-based firm. We do have some outposts in China where we do have an individual there, but we're in the low 40s right now, not including contractors from a headcount perspective through much smarter people than I that manage the various teams. But we've got in the low 40s right now, all in different roles from technology, engineering individuals to trainers, to even some entry-level roles like service desk or phone issue and troubleshooting. I think, you know, just to give some background as well, I have, for the last, I'd say, 12 to 15 years or so, I've managed teams like this that have spread beyond a single confine. So a couple firms ago, I was in, I would say, in the 30 range, but the largest law firm, at least, that I've been in was in the neighborhood of high 80s that we had dispersed across the organization. So it's pretty challenging. So you really do have to put a lot of effort and really understand and know the organization and your people. Because it's really important. So being spread across in different time zones and different locations sure makes it challenging. You can't, no water cooler talk.
Right. So what have you been doing and what have you been speaking with your team about first with having to support a firm that went 100% remote pretty quickly? And now with all of the added uncertainty, we have bad news every day now. So how are you helping your team get through this?
So, you know, I'd like to say that we, while everybody thinks and they see the, it took us X amount of days, 5, 10 days or whatever it is to work remote, I'd like to say that we are constantly and always prepping ourselves and our organization for these moments to be able to shine, where we can prove our worth and our value to be able to execute and enable the firm to be able to do what it needs to do and pivot. So it wasn't like we just turned it on and we did this. So I would say, and I've only been here for about 5 years, but this entire time we've been positioning ourselves to be more agile and to be able to make those moves. And with that, some of the, I think, core fundamentals is not just, and you know, we both work at Perkins. Perkins is a great place from a cultural perspective, but that is not a sales pitch, but is certainly one of those things that even I came in with a you know, propaganda kind of smile to it at first when I walk in the door, but it truly is. And that certainly helps. So when you're in an environment that just is positive in general, and that goes all the way down to the individual perspective and your group's perspective, you're going to be set for doing great magical things anyways. Mm-hmm. So that's a foundational layer that we always have. And one thing that we've always tried to push is that relationship. We may have 40 people across different areas, but I myself, even as the director of the organization, can tell you, I'd say somewhere north of 90% of what people like to do, who they are, where they live, what's going on with them, because it's about that engagement. And mm-hmm. We all know that when people are very engaged and they know who they're working with and for, and they like and enjoy where they are, they're going to output some really positive results. So some of the things that we did even before COVID happened is just, we always try to engage each other, always. Mm-hmm. So you take that opportunity, whether it be online, whether it be on the phone, or whether it be in person, right, to jumpstart those relationships, because that's key. People make everything happen. So, you know, in current times, obviously everybody's doing a lot of the same things, right? We're all in that Zoom fatigue moment at this point now, but we've been using video, as you know, in IT for quite some time, since we walked in the door to use video. And that's always an engaging factor. It helps, it's never a good substitute, but it's better mm-hmm. than a telephone call. I would say some of the key things at a high level that we're doing is being proactive. Being proactive and just making sure that we truly and honestly care and are concerned. Because mm-hmm. If you're not engaging your employees and making sure they're okay, and the right balance, right? To make sure that they know their own personal scenario, you know their own personal scenario, and you know what's going on, and you can respect that and be able to balance that. That's going to mean more than, you know, sprinkling a gift card or making sure that, you know, hey, did you get this task and this deadline done, right? It's really about caring at the individual level. So we've been doing a lot of that even before COVID happened. And then we had to accelerate that even more. Whether it be on a group level or an individual level, our check-ins have gotten higher when they need to be. And in some cases, it's kind of pulled back. And in some extreme cases, we've actually staggered schedules as well, because, you know, working in today's current time certainly helps morale when people are trying to, you know, you got to teach your kids. If you got kids, you got the online learning. And then so you're doing that 2 or 3 hours, but you can still make up for it later on. So, you know, it's not one or two things. I think it's a host of different things. And I'm one of those situational managers, I would say. That's the correct phrase for it. But I would honestly say that every person and every group has a certain style and a certain engagement. And it's important to understand what that is and then have that approach to that individual or group to be able to figure out what their motivators are. And everybody has their own motivators. And so it's important to identify what those are and then be able to move forward with that. And I know I'm going on a bit, but, you know, today's times are really rough, like you were pointing out, right? Mm-hmm. Bad news every corner you take, and every news article or a headline, and that's certainly demoralizing, even in the legal front. It's certainly positive and bad news all at the same time. But if you put those foundational pieces in, which I believe we have had, and then people come in and they see that, we've onboarded many people during this pandemic, and they are all very positive about the culture and how we approach things. You're going to be just fine. And motivating people becomes a different task and a much easier task, because it's not about getting deliverables done, because those are hard. It's just about making sure that people are taken care of, and then that comes out from it. So.
Right. Yeah. It's a human element of managing, right? You have to make sure that you're talking to your people, you're listening to your people, and you're reaching out and making those connections, hopefully pre-pandemic, but, you know, if you find yourself having to do that even more now, certainly just make sure that you're open to your people and they know that you're there for them, that they can come and they can talk to you, and that you will listen, and you'll actually try to help and take action to help them get to where they need to be, and also have some flexibility around that. So yeah, you mentioned balance, you know, in relation to what a lot of us in the industry are facing of sort of like the constant connectivity that we're experiencing, Zoom fatigue, right? On video. So what are you doing to help your team come to more balance while at the same time, you know, serving the need of the firm and the industry to maintain our well, I think, increased connectivity level now that we're all on video all day long?
It is pretty funny how we, all of a sudden our meeting levels have increased exponentially, hasn't it? All of a sudden everybody feels like they need to have these video meetings all the time to try to balance. So, you know, a few things, again, you know, working at a place that understands this balance, you know, they've our firm has been very generous by providing us, you know, this emergency care time that they slotted to everybody that you can use just whenever. But it's surprising how many people have not taken that time or even PTO time. And that's where we've become a little more prescriptive. And I would say almost every single one-on-one conversation I have with my managers, it's important to be able to talk through that and say, what do you have going on that you're going to take? You're going to take some time. What's going on for this weekend? Do you need to take a day or two? You know, especially, and I think the hardest part is when you have individuals that are just hardworking, go-getter, incredible work ethic, they just don't know when to stop. And sometimes you have to stop them. And so I think the balance is sometimes you just have to be that other person that says you really should just walk away for an extra day or two and just go and take that time, whether it be PTO or whatnot, and then also be flexible. We have individuals that are, you know, they've got their scenarios at home are not conducive, and sometimes they get their work done better in the evening or super early in the morning, and then they're offline by 3. But it's about results, and it's about getting what you need done and just balancing all of that. But yeah, I think it's important for everybody to take the time, whether it be take the meetings when you're walking, right? Everybody has done that, as opposed to doing Zoom or video calls. No one's important, or maybe not have the meeting, just email. That's fine too. But I caution, you know, that you can, there's all kinds of, you can read HBR, you can read all kinds of articles out there about separating your location, separating yourself from work and all that. But it's much easier said than done, I would say, since everybody is so connected and things. So you need to make a conscious effort. And I think as managers, it's our responsibility to draw the line and make our people do that. Otherwise, we don't want to have burned out individuals. We don't want to have people that are overexhausted or, you know, feeling overwhelmed for what's ahead of us. Because we're going to be in this for a little while. So it's unfortunately the new norm, even though I hate that term.
I think, you know, this is hard for me as a manager. I am certainly one of those people where I will work and work and work and work. And in order for me to be able to lead by example, I have to make sure that I'm actually doing that so that I take a day or two off or a week and that I am not online at all hours of the day. And that's hard. It's hard from a personal work ethic standpoint, but personally, once I realize that is visible to my team, and that probably is not doing anyone any favors. So I've got to, you know, have a stern talking to myself to stop doing that and be a better, you know, example. So I'm sure that you've talked to your managers about taking care of themselves and making sure that they're leading by example as well.
Well, that's why, you know, you're great at what you do, Amy, because obviously you're driven, but at the same time, I hope that somebody out there is also telling you at the same time, stop it.
And yes, she is.
Recently you took a vacation, and hopefully in that week period, you need to check in. Sure. You know, check the box. You checked in, everything feels good. You know, things are going, but it is okay. And I will say that it's hard for most of us to do that. You know, we just feel like that's what we have to do. But yeah, leading by example is huge. So I'm glad that she is also doing that and telling you to do that. And, but it is true. People will feel you do lead by example. Whether or not we realize it, your people are going to mimic what you do. Right. And if you respond and you write an email at 9 p.m. every night, they're going to probably respond to you at 9:30 or 9:15 when they get that email from you. And is that the culture you want to encourage? Probably not. It's not really an engaging culture that, you know, there's a fine balance to it, right? So I'm glad that you were able to take that time, Amy, and walk away.
Yes, and the she we are referring to is my boss. She certainly has been doing her great director duties of reminding her people to take the time that they need. And she also leads by example by taking time that she needs. So she I can does. Certainly learn a lot from her.
Yes. I live vicariously through her vacations.
I know. I know. So as Ed mentioned, Perkins did release or institute a new temporary benefit, emergency care time. And I think that's pretty rare in the industry. I haven't heard of too many other firms doing something similar. And just to explain to folks listening what that is, it's an extra 30 hours of time off. You don't ding your PTO. It's you know, totally discretionary. You take it when you don't have to provide any justification for it. However, as you mentioned, not a lot of people are taking it. So, you know, even for firms or organizations out there who don't have this type of temporary emergency care time benefit, but they do have their typical PTO, you know, what are some ways that you can encourage people to take time for themselves, even if it doesn't even have to be a whole day, even if it's a morning or, you know, an afternoon?
Sure. Well, you know, again, going back to the situational scenario, I'll use a perfect example where I have a manager on our team who just had a baby before the pandemic, was scheduled to take their leave, and Perkins provides parental leave. So they had several weeks of bank that they were about to use, and they kept on pushing it off. Because they felt like they had to be engaged and had to be here. And this individual manages half of our offices. So they were very engaged and trying to make sure that everything got done to the level it was supposed to get done. And at some point, we just had to keep on having these conversations. We didn't want to push them to take it, but at the same time, we did want to push them to recognize that it's okay. And part of that led into what are the things that are going on that we can help. And during that time while you're gone, we've got it. So you don't have to worry like it's all on your shoulders. We can handle it for you. That's why we have a team. That's why we rely on each other. And that's why we depend on each other. And so it took a little while, right? Because the individual has those work ethics where they just want to grind it out and they'll always be there. But these are the reminders that we have to do. And for personalities like, you know, obviously even you, right? Where you have lots of responsibility and you have lots of different things you need to get done, you're going to be hesitant to take off that time. Oh, I can't take it. I can't. But if you have other people that can, at least you can depend on, or at least you can be confident that you'll get cover for that, that's what we should do. And that's what we did here in this scenario. Now I think they're taking 6 or 7 weeks, which is amazing. I wish I could do that. But it's one of those things where you just have to not force the conversation, but you have to be very prescriptive or at least very deliberate about having that conversation, because we're not going to take the time off. You and I both know that. We're too busy trying to make things happen. And that's great. But we need to recharge too. So it's our responsibility as managers to always have those conversations. And you know, you are having it with your people, I'm having it with my people. And guess what? Eventually they will take that time. I'm starting to see it now. It's summer. Yeah. Everybody should be planning on something. It gives you something to look forward to.
Absolutely.
The work will still be here. You and I both know that.
Right. And it's really important to acknowledge that, you know, you have to take the time to recharge, because then you're going to bring your best self to work and you're going to do your best work. And I think a lot of people right now, because of a lot of the economic uncertainty, and certainly the legal industry is not immune to that. Yeah. You know, there might be some association with how hard you work to security of your job. And the bottom line is these are just really uncertain times. And, you know, that's sort of an illogical connection to make. So you have to make sure you're having conversations with people so that they know, no, taking care of yourself is the best thing that you can do, because you're going to be your best worker self if you do that.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. And, you know, we all go through that psychological trauma, especially when there's bad news, especially when there's reductions or of whatever kind happening throughout the industries. It's important that, again, as managers, that we make sure that we are being transparent with our teams and we're supporting them. You know, we'll get over it. I know we all go through those emotional roller coasters, but you're absolutely right. The better we are as individuals, the better we're going to be able to shine, the better our people will be able to see that lead by example. You know, it's not just about having a Zoom call and having a conversation, right? It is about just really engaging with your people.
Right. And you mentioned, you know, support, having teams, you know, the members of a team feeling supported by the other members of their team. And I think that's a really key thing for maintaining morale, especially with a department like yours that has probably seen a significant uptick in demand.
Sure.
And, you know, do you want to talk a little bit about how you kind of build that foundational layer of support and how that's been helping during these times?
Absolutely. You know, I do go back to the fact that it's, you know, feel like we've been prepping for whatever we want to call this for a while now. So it's not just, you know, responding to the current pandemic. It's just having that as a part of your core. We don't have a single person that if they're gone, nothing happens. They're nowhere in my organization is it like that. There is always duplication, overlap, subject matter experts, at least two people that have and know each other's responsibilities in that, and each that can cover for each other. And we're not talking about, I'm just going to pick up a phone. We're talking about systems the firm depends on, right? The mobile environment, the workstation environment or whatnot. So that's a foundational aspect throughout. Otherwise, it makes it even worse. If you are the only person that is responsible for a service or a system, you're never going to feel like you can take any time. So foundationally, that has always been something there. And I realize that it's not always the case and not always a luxury for many people. But if you at least have that gap or that you can cross train or you have that. So immediately, anytime we ingest a new system into our service model, we like to standardize everything. So as we ingest that, we build a what I call a support plan. And that simply states what the workflow is going to be, who those key people are, who the escalation points are, but then who our subject matter experts are. So regardless of what the system is, we're always going to have multiple people that are going to be knowledgeable in that. So even on the engineering side, right? So I keep on talking about mobile, but we've got a great individual that manages that system. There's two other people that can jump in if they need to. That know the system inside out, but it's her primary responsibility. So it needs to be ingrained from the very beginning. But when you have that type of preparation, you can pivot pretty easily and then hopefully one day take that time off that we all deserve.
Right. Well, I think even for organizations smaller than ours that may not be able to have, you know, at least two people dedicated to cross-training, I think at a minimum level, anytime they onboard something new or some process or system, going through the step of creating maybe a slimmed down support plan or at least documentation so that they know that if for any reason they cannot be there, that there are things codified that the organization can look at so that they won't be the only person, you know, with keeping the lights on at the organization. Yeah. So I think that that's, you know, for smaller organizations, that could be a good step to take and something to keep in mind as they think about, you know, how they support their functions.
Very much so. And I would even say, you know, to your point of the managing expectations. And so if you have the appropriate management of that expectation of what kind of service you're providing or whatever it is you're responsible for, and then making sure you have those checks and balances in place, you don't have to worry about that. If you're in a smaller organization, it's pretty simple. Right. You can obviously, if your emergencies call, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I won't be checking. Is there anything we need to do before I leave or I depart? There's lots of different ways to do that. Right. Day in, day out, people take vacations. People have to do things. And just managing the expectations of your user base and whoever you're working with is key to that. It's surprising how many people don't do that, though. You know,
right.
They just run off and then they end up working through their vacation or end up having to stay online for 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the evening someplace. So it's
Right. Right. So I think, you know, the key takeaway I'm getting from this conversation is that in order to maintain morale at any time, but especially during difficult times like we're in, you really have to plan. You have to plan and you have to take time to build those foundational layers.
It does. It does. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight, but you know, if you've got the right environment, right people, which is the most important thing, you can make all the good magic happen.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ed. I appreciate you talking with me today.
Thank you. Big pleasure. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.